Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 30, recorded Monday, October 17th, 2011. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/socialhour. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Social Hour from TWiT headquarters in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Amber, how's it going?
Good, really good. It's it feels like it's finally fall here in Toronto, which isn't a bad thing. I love fall, just the cooler weather, you know, getting on big sweaters. I won't be so happy when it starts to snow, Sarah, but for now I'm okay.
Good. Yeah, I hear you. We've actually had a crazy hot last week in the Bay Area. I mean, it was 90 degrees in Petaluma last week, which is great, and not totally unusual for October. It's a very unpredictable month. You never know what you're going to get. Well, Amber, we have quite a treat today. Starting us off on this episode of The Social Hour is the founder and CEO of a company that we talked about, I think, two episodes ago, Trippy.com. J.R. Johnson joins us now to tell us a little bit more about this extremely helpful service, socializing your upcoming trips. Hi, J.R.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So you have quite a bit of experience starting companies. Virtual Tourist, for example, which sold to Expedia back in 2008. You also founded something called Lunch.com. But what's Trippy.com?
Well, Trippy is a socially collaborative tool to really do what most of us want when we're planning a trip. Most of us just want the information that our friends have. We don't want to have to go online and sift through a bunch of anonymous reviews and anonymous content, really not sure exactly who's writing it or why they're writing it. Most of us, when we travel, we reach out to our friends right now and try to get help from them. So what Trippy is, it's a really easy, fun tool for people to get that information and then have it all organized in one place and take it with them on their trip right in the Trippy app.
So it's a social travel collaborative service that you've built, but the focus is really on your actual friends, not kind of that hive mind of the internet. Is that something that you learned from your time working on Virtual Tourist? Because that's more of a everybody can put in their two cents, but you may not really have a lot in common with the stranger who told you not to stay at that hotel.
It's based on not only my experience from the past, but at the time when we started Virtual Tourist, we started that back in 99. And back at that time, crowdsourced information, crowdsourced content was killer. Like, if you just got a review from somebody from around the world on some place that you should go in Amsterdam, it's like, wow, that's fantastic. It was so trustworthy. It was so reliable. It was great. At that time, it was what we all wanted. It was what was really cool. Fast forward, 10, 12 years later now, and we've seen kind of the overabundance of user-generated content online through many different public forums. And the trustworthiness of that has been questioned a little bit. So what we're doing with Trippy is now what's really a natural process of just asking our friends for information. And because right now we've got so many friends that we're all connected with on Facebook, it makes it so easy and so efficient for us to now have access to all these people who we know, but more importantly, these people who know us and know what we like.
So Chad, are you able to pull
the advantage for some?
Go ahead, Amber.
Oh, sorry, Sarah. I was just curious in terms of what would be the advantage of going through Trippy versus saying, simply asking on Facebook or Twitter where you should go based on recommendations from your own networks on those social networks. Why do you need that layer of Trippy? What more does it do?
Yeah, it does so much more. If you just go and put something on Facebook or if you put something on Twitter, you might get a couple responses back. But with Trippy, the way that we've designed this, is with one click in a socially collaborative way, people are able to make these recommendations and give you feedback, and it plots it all on your map for you, and it allows you to drag it into different days on your itinerary. And then with the app, you've got it all right there with you in your hand while you're taking the trip. So it's so much more efficient. In kind of the old world of doing it, you're left to really, find the place. You're doing a Google search to try to track this stuff down. You're trying to figure out exactly what it is, making sure that you're spelling it right, putting it all right into however you're organizing that trip. You don't need to do any of that anymore. Trippi does all of that for you, because just with one click, the data that we have within Trippi already is so good. And if somebody says you need to stay at this hotel and you need to eat at this restaurant, with two clicks, those are right on your map, and you have those now as part of your trip in your hand while you're there, along with all of your friends' comments that they left for you as well.
So I've got Trippi up on my computer. Essentially, what I've done is, the way that I'm using Trippi is I've got an upcoming trip to Paris. I'm going to be in Paris in December. I've been to Paris before, so I feel like I've done most of the big obvious stuff in Paris. So Trippi is a great way for me to say to my friends, listen, I'm going to be in Paris for work, but I will have some free time. I've done kind of the obvious stuff. Anybody know any hidden gems? Because that's the sort of thing that's interesting to me. And I think that having close friends, close-ish friends, Facebook friends, those kind of people, giving me their hidden gem recommendations works a lot better for me than someone who says, oh, you'd love this little bistro. If I don't know that person well enough, I'm just less inclined to think that we have similar enough taste. Mm-hmm. What's nice is that if I want to kind of ping somebody on Facebook, I can go ahead and share this. It's almost like a little bit of a nudge. Let me share my trip with you so you can give me some recommendations. Trippi also, JR, how does Trippi know which friends of mine have already been to a place that I may be going to?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first point that you brought up, sir, is it's really the key to what makes Trippi unique and what makes it really work, is that if you're going to Paris, you're only going to ask some of the people who you know and you really want their information, these people that you know and that you trust. And then when those folks come in, they know you as well. So when they give you the recommendations and they provide feedback on the things you're already thinking about in addition to the recommendations, and then start providing feedback on what your other friends are telling you, it is really that's the natural intelligence. It's just kind of built into our social interaction. It's just kind of built into the way that we normally do things. So the example I always use is, if you're a vegan, your friend's not going to recommend the best steakhouse in Paris, because, you know, that's an obvious thing that is built into the natural intelligence that we have when we're talking with other people who we know and who know what we really like.
What's also kind of nice is these popular places. I happen to have been, I was lucky enough to have a dinner at Le Royal Monceau in Paris the last year when I was there. Very chichy place. So this is a good example where I could say great place, because this is just in a recommendations and I happen to have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna say it's fancy. There you go.
I'm curious too, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm thinking about the way people get recommendations. You know, we kind of touched on the idea that people maybe search for recommendations or go onto social networks, but there's also the biggies out there when you think of like Yelp, for example, and TripAdvisor. Is this something where it kind of, is this sort of a TripAdvisor killer in some ways? Do you see it as that?
I wouldn't necessarily say a killer. I think it's just a different way of doing things. We're in kind of a less is more mentality right now, where I don't necessarily need 1,000 reviews of a restaurant for me to decide if it's some place where I should go spend my dollars. If I know one person that I know and trust and says that this is where I need to be if I'm on that side of town, that's really all I need. So we've kind of been, you know, the pendulum of user generated content has swung so far in one direction that there's just so much of it now. This is really kind of an answer to that question of just, I don't really need all of that stuff. I just need a thumbs up and maybe a few comments from some people I know and trust. And that gets me all the as far as I need to be, really. I see you've got my San
Francisco
trip. And
with something like Trippi.
I do. I'm looking at JR's last San Francisco trip. Go ahead, Amber.
With Trippi, is it something where I'm just curious as far as monetization for you as that's a relatively new company. How in the long run, how do you sort of stay afloat long run and, you know, continue to be profitable just based on people exchanging recommendations and sharing their travel plans?
Well, the travel space is a great business to be in. It's a $350 billion worldwide business. So there's a lot of money being spent around travel. And the way that we monetize it is very similar to how some of the leaders in the space monetize it, like TripAdvisor. And most of that is around hotel booking. So on Trippy, when your friends narrow down, say, 300 hotels in a market down to about the two or three that you should be thinking about and that you really should be considering, we have book now buttons on there. So you can go through and book the hotel right off of Trippy and check the rates and see if they have availability. And at that point, that's where we end up getting paid when we send you through to the Orbitz or Expedia or Kayak or whoever you prefer to book that hotel from.
JR, your trip to San Francisco is awesome. I mean, I'm kind of engrossed in this. What's fun about it is that you and I didn't know each other in advance for me to participate in this particular trip of yours. But I'm looking through it and it's almost kind of fun after the fact. You could, if I didn't live in San Francisco either, you could just send me this permalink, which you actually did for the purposes of the show, and say, look, I took this recent trip. I got so many recommendations. Here are some cool places I went. I mean, this can just be a really good travel guide for the next person who you can just pass this information on to. And even though there's heavy integration with Facebook on Trippy, certainly to spread the word and let people know where you're going, you could just email me this link too after the fact, and I could get a lot out of this. And actually, people give you really good recommendations.
I can do you one better. Go to the top of the page, and on the top right-hand corner, there's a copy this trip button. So basically, you can copy that, and that takes everything that my friends and I did and puts that all into your trip. So it takes you into that trip planning process, so you can go through and just categorize exactly what type of trip you're going to take, and it takes all of our information and drops it right into your trip. So you actually can benefit from everything that you and your friends have done, or that me and my friends have done when you're planning your next trip there. So it's really designed, we've really built this around two things, making this really like the natural conversation that takes place between friends when they're traveling and planning trips, but also this making it really efficient. So all of the work that we've done, it's not lost, it's all there. So any friends of friends that come and connect later and see that, you know, Tim Ferriss recommended that I do this in San Francisco, Tim's friends will also see that he helped me out on my trip, and they're going to be able to go in and copy his suggestions as well and use that for their upcoming trip.
I have to, on behalf of our chat room, who love to ask questions when we're talking to people building cool companies, some people have an issue with deep Facebook integration. Why is Facebook Trippy's sign-in partner of choice?
750 million active monthly users is number one.
Good answer.
It just allows for us to reach quickly and easily reach a lot of people that are interested in socially engaging around things like travel. So that was the first step to do it. But we're going to be rolling out additional stuff. We're going to have a Foursquare sign-in. We're going to have a Twitter sign-in, even LinkedIn, as well as Google+. All of those things are coming. But for us to launch, Facebook covers, you know, it checks most of the boxes for that.
Yeah, I think more and more you'll just... It's true. I mean, JR said it. It's however many millions of people who can automatically be connected to a service, even if you plan to use many other services down the road, which, of course, you would want to. It's certainly a good place to start. I love Trippy. Yeah. Amber, do you see yourself maybe getting some ideas for your next big vacation? Do you even take vacations? I know you're always traveling for
work.
What
is a vacation, Sarah? You know what? No, but to be honest with you, it's really interesting because I've been tasked with two other shows that I do with coming up with travel apps and reviewing all of the travel apps that are out there. And there are literally so many travel apps in the space. So I'm super excited about Trippy because I think, you know, it just really hits the nail on the head. It's all based on personal recommendations. And that's the way that I like to travel. And I'm sure, you know, hundreds of millions of people on Facebook would agree with that as well.
Absolutely.
Let me show you one other thing then, just on the app, if you can pull the screen up here. So basically, you saw my whole trip in there. And that whole trip, when you connect with the app, it brings it all in. And we've got everything right there in your hand, right there in your app, going through it. So you can see exactly, you know, if our friends recommended the Tea Lounge, we can just get right in there to the Tea Lounge page. Whoops, sorry. You're right in there to the Tea Lounge page, and I see everybody that has actually recommended stuff for me, and I've got all their comments right there. So I've got everything that I really want when I'm actually taking the trip right there in my hand. If I need to map it, you know, obviously that goes through, and you can get right there. But the cool part is then I want to add a photo, and the photo uploader then goes back to everybody that helped me plan my trip. So this is one of the kind of closing the loop that no app has ever really tried to do before. But this essentially is a thank you that goes back to everybody that helped me plan the trip. And then by doing that, you've got, and you can pull it up on the site as well, Sarah, you've got a whole trip album then. If I can pull it up on the app, so all my pictures from the trip, they're all right there. And if you pull it up on the site as well, you'll see all the same photos. Give it a sec while it loads. But you'll see all the same photos that we took on the trip that I shared back with my friends. Again, just kind of letting them know, thank you. I'm following you. I'm taking you up on your recommendations. I'm doing exactly, you know, what, there we are with the family at Yang Tseng eating some chow su bao. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole way down. So we've got all the photos in here from the entire trip. And those are all saved in the trip album on the site as well. So then I can share those with all my friends in the future. So we've really tried to, again, build this around the natural conversation. When you're planning the trip, you want to get your friends' help when you're setting it up. And then when you're on the trip, you actually want to be able to share back what you're doing with your friends that help make that trip great. And then at the end, any of your other friends, they get a benefit from all that because they can copy it and use everything that you did for their trip. So from the planning, the trip experience itself, and then post-trip, we feel like we've covered a lot of the bases.
Yeah, I love Trippy. I think this is a great idea, and I love the picture aspect of it, because if I was the person who had told you to go to Yang Tseng, I'd be like, yeah, you got those buns I told you to get. I'm exactly. It kind of makes you feel like you I helped you have a better experience.
We call it helper joy.
Yeah, definitely.
So we kind of spread for joy back.
That's a good way to describe it. I just have one last question, because I'm thinking about Trippy in my own life and how it could be useful outside of just planning trips. For example, I live in Toronto, so there's 6 million people in the greater GTA, and there's lots of places in my own neighborhood, I mean, at a very local level that I haven't even explored. So do you see this being something that could be rolled out to maybe being sort of city specific, not necessarily being just for people who are going on vacation?
Absolutely. It's something you could actually do that right now, and that's something that a lot of our kind of our heavy users have already started to do, this idea of just getting good information for local places in your city from the people that you know and trust. We've already got all of the places that you could, that you'd want to be visiting in Toronto in your situation. So you can actually just go out and use it for that, to basically plan a staycation in a way of all the places that you should eat and the places that you should be checking out in your own city.
Perfect. I love it. Staycation, Sarah. That's more for me. That's more my speed.
I know. It's like, you travel so much for work. You don't want to get on a plane.
It's
for
true.
Fun.
I like to stay home and explore. I know. It's
so
true.
So there you go, in your own city of Toronto. Well, JR, thank you so much for joining us. Trippy is great. I've really enjoyed putting together some of my upcoming trips that I know for sure are happening. And I'm really looking forward to all the feedback that that my friends will be giving me. And best of luck with Trippy. I see good things for you guys.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Amber, I am truly, truly very excited to get some of my my Parisian tips from some of my friends who have been there once or twice before. It's interesting, too. It's like I can see what some of my friends' upcoming trips are, too. Molly Wood is going, well, maybe I shouldn't say where she's going, because she's going somewhere cool. My friend Ryan Block from Good Gadget answer. Is going somewhere cool. I have this is a fun service, because people, especially when they go somewhere kind of dramatically, far or different, that's where you tend to be like, all right, I'm going to Greece, say, for the first time. I don't know anything about what I'm doing. Ireland suggestions, where should I go for food? You know, when I'm in Athens, what are things to avoid? That kind of stuff comes in so handy. And I find myself trolling sites like TripAdvisor and reading reviews from people. And, you know, it's almost like there's that Yelp thing going on, where sometimes you read a review and you think, well, this person is extremely detailed and they're trying to be as helpful as possible, but I kind of get the sense that this person and me wouldn't like traveling together. So you don't know how much to trust that advice from somebody.
I know. Sarah, I'm very excited that you love Trippy, and I think it's awesome too, but I hope you're not getting any ideas about leaving for a long time again.
No. I
no,
can't.
No.
It's very hard to leave. Well, in December, some of us from TWIT will be covering the web, so we will definitely be leaving the country, but not for very long.
A year, I think. Okay.
No, not for a year. Oh, my goodness. I kind of got that out of my system. It's traveling for a year now. It's like, I have cats. I have bills. You know, it's sort of a once in a lifetime thing, at least for me. But no, you don't have to worry about that. I will not abandon you, Amber.
Okay, good. Thank you, Sarah. I couldn't handle it.
Quick reminder for everybody who's not watching us live. If you're watching us after the fact, thank you. We have the show on demand specifically for people like you so that you can watch or listen to our audio feed whenever you like. But if you'd like to watch us live, it's always fun because you can participate in the conversation. 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Mondays. And if you ever miss a show or need to catch up or want to subscribe in iTunes, etc., you can always go to twit.tv/TSH. That's our show page where all of our episode archives live, all of our links to subscribe. And in each episode, we even have a nice embedded video if you just want to watch it right then and there. And you can, of course, email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. I'll go ahead and take this moment to thank our friends at Netflix. They're the first sponsor of this episode of The Social Hour. All right, so let me break it down for you. Netflix is this really cool service that allows you to instantly stream movies, TV shows, series, etc., that sort of genre of funness, to your television, your Apple TV, your Roku box, your Xbox 360, PlayStation, your iPad, your iPhone, several Android devices, and so on. You get the idea. The point about Netflix is that not only is it a great service to watch instant streaming movies, which is all the rage now, that's where everybody's going, but to do it on so many devices that you really can't go wrong. You can even start a movie. Let's say you're watching a really long movie. You're watching Schindler's List. It's really, really long. You can watch half of it, and then when you're done at the gym, you can walk home and keep watching that exact same movie, you know, on your big screen TV when you have time. Netflix makes it really, really easy to enjoy a lot of content in a variety of different ways, a variety of different places. You know, it's funny. I was reading a Facebook post from Roger Ebert, the movie critic, the famous movie critic, who's mentioned something about this movie called The Red Violin and said it's on instant streaming on Netflix. And it's one of those movies I've never understood why more people don't love it and have it on their top 10 list because it's a great movie. Roger Ebert is right. Anybody who else has seen The Red Violin knows that that is a great movie and it's on instant streaming. So that just gives you an idea of what kind of movies Netflix instant streaming has. A lot of good movies, a lot of TV shows being added all of the time, which helps you get caught up on series like Breaking Bad. You know, you keep hearing us talk about all of it. Get caught up, and then you can start watching when the new series goes live on AMC or HBO or whatever. That's Netflix. Netflix is great. I don't know what more I can say about it, but here's the thing. If you have an account, you're good to go. If you don't have an account, sign up at netflix.com/twit and you get 30 days free content, as much as you can manage. Just go nuts. It'd be like you turn into an insane person. You can't stop. You can't stop consuming content. That's what we want you to do. Free for 30 days, and then if you love Netflix after that, then you've already got it all set up. Thanks so much to Netflix for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Again, netflix.com/twit. Cool story that comes down from the folks at Bit.ly, who have a bit of a, I don't know if you want to call this more of a robust stat functionality for enterprise customers.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. You know, I don't really think about Bit.ly a lot. I mean, I know that it's a URL shortener service that I see all the time when mm-hmm. I'm posting on Twitter. But beyond that, I haven't really thought of them as being kind of a player in the game and having access to so much information. And reading this article and reading a little bit more about them, I was just on their website and they mentioned that they shorten about 80 million URLs a day. I mean, a phenomenal number of links for them to shorten. And so they have all these really great stats about those URLs and what topics are popular. And so they are offering what's almost like a sentiment service, so an engine that enterprise customers can use to watch how their brands are being discussed based on all of these URLs that are being shared across the internet. So you can see, because they are compiling so much content, they have access to all of those links shared, how it would be a great resource for a company.
What's interesting about where they're going is that this newest service, which is not cheap. Enterprise customers are not people like you and me who are sharing Bit.ly links on Twitter. These are people who are paying $995 a month, companies for the most part. I mean, that's why they call them enterprise customers, for this new service, which Bitly says it's different than the kind of algorithm that helps people find out what's been the most shared link on the internet, you know, via like Google. What's the word for it? Google
Analytics.
Zeitgeist. Google Zeitgeist. It's Bitly saying, based on kind of the trajectory of a certain viral video, let's say, or something that's been shared via Bitly links, we can now predict what's going to be the viral hit later on in the day, later on in the week, which is something that people haven't really done in the past because it can be very hard to predict those sorts of things. But I think Bitly has so much data now that they can be pretty confident that they can start to predict trends, which as a company, you can imagine that could be really helpful if you want to figure out what a feature on your homepage or what's resonating with customers and what's going to be the most talked about story of the day, you know, by 5 p.m., that sort of thing. So I love the idea of this. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. You know, it's neat too. On their blog post, they talk about offering up sort of an early warning system. So the concept that if you're a brand, like let's say you're a Pepsi and people start talking about you, but there's kind of a negative tone to the conversation that's happening, you would get warned based on signing up for this service that, you know, your reputation or your brand is kind of on a downhill slope. So I think that's interesting too for a lot of companies. You know, we hear this all the time that it's, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours later, they still don't realize that all of a sudden, you know, they're the next bad social media story or disaster out there. So this would help to almost notify some of these companies a little bit in advance. So just a better way to be able to make sense, I think, of all of the stuff that's being shared online through Bitly.
Absolutely. Another making sense of something is just a mention I wanted to throw out there about a Google Plus conversation I started yesterday, and I got probably, it may have been the most engagement ever on a Google Plus post, or certainly in the shortest amount of time. I am considering switching from my current bank because they're going to impose these monthly fees just for using an ATM card, which is just, I don't know, that seems just like something I shouldn't accept. So I just went to Google Plus and said, hey, here's this situation. I don't really know where I should go. I have a really good online banking situation right now. What are some of my options? And as of, you know, less than 24 hours later, I have 377 comments, most of which say,
wow.
I know, most of which say, go to a credit union, Sarah. That's, you know, that's, they don't say specifically which credit union. And so some people have been giving me, I know, you can see scrolling down, there's quite a bit of activity going on there. And, you know, give or take a person or two who complained that the thread was too long. And believe me, I feel your pain because I feel this way about other people's threads. For the most part, everybody had really good advice. We're giving me this is like where Google Plus shines in a way where if I had asked the same question on Twitter, first of all, I would have had to phrase it differently because it would have had to been a lot shorter, not complete sentences. But I know for a fact I just don't get this kind of response anywhere else. I don't think Facebook would have been that either. So Google Plus is just, it's so great for specific questions where I say, please, people of internet, give me your good answers because I need your help. So Google Plus rocks.
Yeah, but yet, Sarah, I agree with you. And yet in the media, I'm reading so much over the past week about how the decline of Google Plus and how, you know, they're saying the numbers have kind of tapered off. I guess it was announced recently that Google Plus is now at 40 million members, if I'm right with that stat. I think that is correct. And they're saying that it's kind of hit a plateau and maybe it's going to be on the decline. And so people don't have a lot of hope. And then I'm seeing the exact opposite situation with my own personal experience with Google Plus is that it's become more useful than ever. So, it's going to be a fun 6 months, I think, for that social network. I can't wait to see how things pan out. But I really think that it's a strong contender as far as one of the top networks out there right now.
Absolutely. Web9961 in chat says, Sarah, you're only getting that much response because you're well known. For people who don't have lots of friends, it's not the same experience. I totally agree. We've talked about that in the past. And I think that is probably where some of the disengagement on Google Plus comes from people saying, why are all these people talking about how it's such a great place to have a conversation? Nobody's commenting on my post. So it definitely depends on what you're talking about and what circles that you're in. And it's just a different experience for different people. But I still think it is, definitely. You know, as far as just having a conversation, it's been very impressive to me anyway. All right. So that's my big story.
Well, Sarah, I have an interesting story that I read about. Matthew Ingram had tweeted, I know we both follow him on Twitter, and he always has great links. This one was to a New York Times article that was posted about four new magazines that are hitting the shelves in, I believe it's Office Depot stores, in the next little while. And they are social media magazines. So one on Twitter, one on LinkedIn, one on Google, and one on Facebook. And basically for business customers to learn how to use all these different tools. And he had a funny comment when he tweeted about it. He'd said something along the lines of, you know, isn't it kind of weird that we're going to print to learn about something that's online? And I don't know. I just thought I would throw it out there. To, you know, you see how popular social media has become that, you know, there's all of these different magazines. Magazines now where you can read up about it.
There's actually a direct link if you're curious in these magazines at socialmediamags.com. And I'm looking at them, and you know, I don't want to be judgmental because I think that the way that if you want to learn about Facebook or LinkedIn, for example, or Google or Twitter, I mean, who am I to say that this isn't the right way to at least comfortably get involved? But this all just looks so dated and kind of backwards. And you have to go to Office Depot? You can subscribe directly through their website. But it seems like this is some sort of Prince way of trying to just cash in a little bit on the social networking revolution, you know, to use a very trite word. It just looks... I wouldn't read any of this stuff, but... But maybe maybe I'm being snobby about it because I live and breathe this, and so I don't feel like it's worthwhile. Maybe it is.
You know, it's funny because I feel like I have sort of I had that first reaction, but then I think to all of the conferences that I speak at. I was just at one this weekend, and I think about the audience and how much they're struggling with social media, like the average business audience, right? Mm-hmm. And how much help they really, really do need. And then when I was reading this article, I thought, this is so stupid. Why would you learn about social media in print? And then here I am like looking at a book that I wrote last year that's 300 pages on that exact topic. Right. So I think it is a situation almost where I have to realize that I am an exception to the rule, right? It's a situation where most people aren't that this immersed in social media, and they still like that being able to, you know, touch paper and have the experience of sitting down and reading about how to use something, and they get more out of it because maybe they don't know where to go online because there's just too much crap, quite frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you end up subscribing to any of these mags or picking one up at an Office Depot or any get into them any other way and you love them, let us know because maybe we're missing a great source of information. I don't know. I don't even like using LinkedIn. I certainly don't want to read a how to LinkedIn better type of a thing. But some people love LinkedIn.
Yeah, I know, but some people love it. You know, I actually have been spoken at events before where I haven't mentioned LinkedIn, and I have people in the audience who are furious because they are very upset that I didn't include it in my presentation because it's so important to them. So there's a lot of room out there, I think, in social media for all types of people. And I think people are at such different learning curves with trying to understand these tools that, you know, who knows? This could work for a lot of people. Maybe it'll be, you know, something that they really feel like they need.
Absolutely.
Sarah. We'll see.
We will see. So our social tip, I asked before the show, or actually I asked when we were trying to get your connection working, hey, so who wants to hear about Siri? And everyone said, oh, too much Siri. Siri, of course, being the new AI feature of the iPhone 4S. But you actually found something that could be extremely helpful for people, not just because, ooh, let's play stupid Siri tricks, but to use Twitter through Siri.
Yeah, this is fun. I know that you know George Ruiz as well on Twitter.
I do.
He's an agent in Los Angeles. And he had posted a message this weekend where I think it was a tweet sent from Siri. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think you're right that we've talked a lot about Siri in the past few days. But it was fun to know that you could actually tweet from Siri. And Mashable posted a really good step-by-step how-to. There's like five or six steps that you walk through to set up your phone to be able to tweet if you have Siri on your phone. And it's really as simple as going into your settings on Twitter, enabling your Twitter account so that you can send and receive text messages. And then basically it's kind of like you're using Siri to send a text message, but then it goes to Twitter, if that makes sense. I'm trying to condense all of the steps. So it's not as hard as you might think it would be. And like I said, the step-by-step on Mashable is super helpful because it's basically all screenshots. And I think if I click through all of them, there are 8 different steps that you have to go through. But a fun way, if you're really into voice-activated technology like Siri and you prefer to do that than actually, you know, writing a text message, and I know there are lots of people who do, that it's a simple way to take advantage of that new feature.
Yeah, absolutely. This is for anybody who's familiar with sending tweets via text and getting them via text as well. This isn't going to be rocket science at all. It's just the 404 protocol for SMS through Twitter. What's weird a little bit to me is, and this does work, I tested it out at home on MG's 4S, and it works, but with iOS 5, Apple made this big deal about how Twitter had this deep integration within the OS itself. You know, originally it was like, is it going to be Facebook? And Twitter ended up winning out. Okay, great. It seems somewhat odd to me that Twitter, being kind of the golden company that Apple has decided is their BFF now for integration in the OS, mm-hmm. would not have better Siri integration. I mean, this is something that you can do, but it's really kind of a hack. It's not something that
is
built in, and that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, but you know, it's the same thing if you look at Facebook timelines, right? You know, I was so inspired by your timeline, Sarah, that I went to enable it quickly after I saw yours. And I went through the process of actually almost like hacking in, becoming a developer and everything to do it. And it's a total pain in the butt. Yeah. So I think sometimes these companies don't realize, like, the average person is never, ever going to do that.
Right.
So I think it's a really valid point. They need to make it a lot easier for anyone to be able to quickly, you know, send out a tweet just by sending a voice message to Siri. Although that scares me, because I love Siri. I think it works really well. I'm a huge fan, but it doesn't always work 100%. So I don't know if I'm comfortable. I guess you would be able to edit it before it went out, but I'd be a little careful about starting to voice tweets. That could get frightening.
Oh, I know. Especially with, it's true. I mean, you can stump Siri. I pretend that she's a woman just because she has a lady robot voice. Is very good, but you can trick her. And can you imagine sending out a tweet where she says, oh, I think you said something that you didn't, and then it's sort of a autocorrect failure in a whole different way.
A whole different way, Sarah.
A whole different way. So we don't talk about apps too much on this show because we've got all about Android and iPad today, for at least Android and iOS apps. But there are definitely a few apps that are great for social-minded folks, so I just thought we should mention them. The first one is Facebook app, the first finally native iPad Facebook app, which is a big deal, and that actually went live right after we finished our show last week, Amber, so it's a solid week old. Yeah. Unfortunately, we weren't able to add it into our show last week because we weren't positive that it was going to go live that day. Of course, it did. But now that I've had a week to play around with it, I love it. And I had I had really written off all of the third-party Facebook apps and was just going through Facebook via Safari, which works fine. But this is just, it's so much more iPad-y.
I agree.
I really like it a lot. Have you been using it too?
I love it too. Yeah, absolutely love it. I just wrote a post for the Globe and Mail on, you know, 5 tips or 5 reasons that the Facebook iPad app is so awesome. And I almost started to write off Facebook, not entirely, but I was sort of going in that direction because my page there was a mess. And I think they did a really slick job on the iPad app. I like it way better than the web interface.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good stuff. So that's the Facebook iPad app, just to mention. Another app that got a big update actually today. It just went live in the App Store is Instapaper. And anybody who's familiar with Instapaper knows that it is an extremely good way to be able to bookmark all of the things that you want to read but simply don't have time to read when they come across your tabs, etc. So this is Instapaper from Marco Arment. And it really has, even though it works, the functionality is very similar. In the iPad app itself, it looks really different. I mean, it even has almost a Flipboard kind of a look. When I look at, this is just my, this is articles from friends. So let's go and look at all of the things that I have tapped to read later, besides the fact that it doesn't actually flip. like Flipboard does. These are all links that I have decided to save for one reason or another. I save all sorts of stuff. And, you know, either it's I think this is good for the social hour, or I want to send this to somebody, or this is just kind of my little scrapbook type of a thing. But the interface has gotten just a lot more visual. There's obviously the stuff that I wanted to read later, anything that I've archived. Then you've got your nice little friends view. So these are all the articles that my friends are deciding to read later. And that's something that they can opt in and out of, whether or not they want to share that with me. There's a curated give me something to read list, which takes from what popular links are and what links they think that would be good for you. And then, of course, you've got some settings. So Instapaper is, if you already use it, you already know that it's great. It's an indispensable tool for busy people who want to don't want to miss anything, but need to be able to kind of do what they got to do and then read stuff later when they have time. New look. So definitely download that. And then in that vein, for anybody who's like, well, that's two iPad apps, and this is not an iOS show, so why are you doing that, Sarah? Free Android app, Read It Later, that's in the Amazon App Store today. Read It Later is very Instapaper-like. In fact, I would say that the two are pretty much as direct competitors as you can get. But a lot of people also like Read It Later. Now, Read It Later Pro has some features that the free version doesn't have. Read It Later Pro is what's free today. So if you're an Android lover, go to the Amazon App Store and go ahead and get that if you're not already using it.
And that's our app. It looks like it's not always free.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it normally costs $2.99, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Amazon does this where they'll have daily free app type of a thing. So this just happens to be what they have in the App Store at Amazon today, which I'm sure is no coincidence at all. I'm sure that they know that a lot of people are going to be interested in Instapaper. So this just gives anybody who's looking for that sort of functionality kind of a freebie through Amazon for the Android folks. All right. So should
Love
we
it.
Move on to our email of the week, Amber?
Yeah, sure. I'll take the email. So it says, "Hi, Sarah and Amber. I've been following your shows for a couple of years, and now I finally have something that I can share with you. The website is called postpenguin.com, and I made a special introduction just for you, and it's available at this URL. Hope I see you there. Best regards, Anders Damsgaard from postpenguin.com. Hopefully I read his name correctly. And then I clicked over to the link at Post Penguin. So kind of a fun idea. So if you don't have a blog, basically Post Penguin will allow you to write a blog post that you can share across social channels. And it's almost like a disposable blog. Is that fair, Sarah?
So this is actually what Anders, who is Danish. So he apologized for his English, and I am definitely apologizing for my Danish. Anders Damsgaard. That was his email that he used as an example. But if you go to postpenguin.com, his idea is pretty cool. So let's say that you wanted to compose some sort of a message like I did in Google Plus last night. But Google Plus has pretty limited options for the way that you format your note. You don't have a lot of italicizing and bolding and things like that and colors. This Post Penguin here allows you to compose something that you can then port over to a Google Plus or Twitter or Tumblr or a variety of stuff, and gives you just a little bit more of that make it personalization type thing without it actually being its own blog engine. Because I'm sure Anders knows that he has so much competition in that realm already. Why not just give people a nice, almost like a very word processor type of an interface to just put something together, and then you send it to whatever social network you want. On his particular post here, he's obviously got links set up with Google Plus and Facebook and Twitter and email. There's a print feature and then a variety of other stuff. So I like this idea. He even says, if you don't like it or you doubt how useful it is, you know, you could always put it in your rad or fad segment. I thought that it was just worth, I don't know, I think it's rad. I think anybody who has a use for this is going to like it.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's just a cool, simple little service. Sometimes those are the best services out there. And Sarah, actually, speaking of cool things, I do have to mention, I meant to mention it off the top of the show. I was at a conference called Blistem on Saturday, and it was like 300-400 women who are all into social media. And I had a bunch of women come up to me at the end of the show and say how much they love the Social Hour. So
that's
kind of feedback in an indirect way. Yeah, it was really cool. And you would not believe it. This group of women who came up to me, they all kind of know each other. I would say out of maybe like 6 or 7 women, at least 2 or 3 of them had QR codes, as like a sterling silver necklace with QR codes that went to their website. The other women had Twitter necklaces that were created by this company called blendcreations.com.
Awesome.
And it was really fun. I mean, they were super into social media and fans of the show. So just a hi from them and a hi to them. If
they're
watching.
Great. Yes. Hello, ladies. Thank you for watching the Social Hour.
Very fun.
Very nice of them.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
So
super
reminder
fun.
That, I'm sorry, we're talking over each other so much because of our poor delay today. I'm sorry, Amber. I would never do that.
It's
normally.
Okay. So is it me or is it just happening?
I think it's you because your video has slowed down again. We've got a wonky connection today. I mean, it's your audio sounds fine. I think we're just,
good.
We've just got that. It's like that second, you know, where
we got off tempo,
but that's okay. We're dealing with it all right. A reminder that we love getting feedback from all of you. The Social Hour at twit.tv is how you can email us. You can leave us a voicemail at 2626-SOCIAL. In fact, we got a voicemail. We didn't have time to play it in the show today, but from the very nice gentleman who had sent us his picture of his QR code in his window. Some time back and said that he had gotten a job. So thank you for keeping us informed. I hope that QR code was the reason. That and your extreme talent. Or, of course, you can record a video. We love getting videos. They are few and far between because I think a lot of you are shy and you think, oh, I don't want to record a video. But give it a try because we'd love to see you and get your feedback or an idea or a tip or anything like that. Just upload it somewhere where you can send us a link, and we'd be happy to play it on the show. Try to keep it to 30 seconds or less. All right, Amber, I want you to get ready for your Rad or Fad segment. But before we get to that, we have got to thank Audible. They're our second sponsor in this episode of The Social Hour, and they are awesome because it is the best way to listen to audiobooks, so many different audiobooks, of all the books that are the best in the land. 75,000 titles, more than that. I mean, that is a lot of books. I was listening to Fresh Air last week, and Terry Gross had Jeffrey Eugenides on the show. And if anyone's not familiar with him, he's a great author. He was responsible for this book called Middlesex that was just one of my favorites. He's got a new book now, The Marriage Plot, that I have not read. But I am very much looking forward to listening to on Audible because I do so much commuting that I need a big, meaty book that's going to last a while, that gives me an incentive to want to get into the car and drive 45 minutes two ways, 5 days a week. You know, that sort of thing. It's like when you have an incentive like this, it's like, I love this book. I can't wait. That's something that you can do at the gym. You can take a walk. You can just listen in your house while you're making dinner. And, you know, it's a great time where it's like you're too busy to watch TV, but you want to kind of have something to listen to and be a part of. Audiblepodcast.com/social hour is the website to go to get a free book. So if you're a Jeffrey Eugenides fan, get The Marriage Plot. This is perfect. Free book. You don't even have to pay a thing. If you sign up for an account, of course, have to have a new account, or really any other book. If you go to their audible.com and just look through their list, it's overwhelming how many great books and some periodicals too. If you like the idea of news being read to you audibly, they have that as well. Lots of stuff. I mean, they really are just the number one name in audiobooks. Again, audiblepodcast.com/social hour is the URL to use for your free Audible book. And we thank them so much for sponsoring this episode
of
the Social Hour. Amber, one of these days, I'm not going to confuse my shows. One of these days.
It's okay, Sarah. Judge, I'm in exactly the same boat. I'm constantly confused about what show I'm doing. So it's all good. I totally understand. So, Sarah, Rad or Fad. And this week, I'm excited for this. I'm excited every week. But this week, I'm particularly excited because I found this service last night called CardFlick. And I'm wondering if you've heard of it already because Have you heard of it?
Well, I've heard of it because I looked it up right before the show started.
Before you
introduced it to me, I had not heard of this, but I think it's fabulous.
Awesome, because I always do this. I mentioned before I always did this with Leo. I like to find stuff that you haven't seen before because then I know it's a true gem. So this is fun. It's basically digital business cards for your phone. And right now it's available in the iTunes App Store. And what you do is you create a digital business card. So you go into the app, you add your name, information. It could be your Twitter handle, your phone number, your any other contact information that you want, even a picture. And then you choose from one of the many templates that are available within the app, so you can different colorful templates. And then if someone else around you also has this app installed, you can basically exchange and share business cards with them. But the best part, this is the thing that I like about it the most, is that you can also very easily just email that card to someone that you meet on the spot. And I'll give a quick example of how I find this really useful. I just met someone on the weekend and I didn't have any business cards on me. And so I said, okay, I'll send you an email. But when I send them an email, just a regular email, then, you know, they don't have all my contact info. But if I could send something really pretty, like from CardFlix, something that had all my information and, you know, was designed a little bit better, I think it's just a fantastic tool to be able to instantly send a digital business card and not have to worry about sending paper out all the time. So I guess you're guessing that it's rad.
I think this is rad, too. Not only is this a great idea, but the app is really nice looking. Not that I don't think that people can't make nice apps, of course, but it's just, it's like, I like the idea of my business card looking like this. It's awesome. And I love the whole wireless
slick, yeah.
Sharing type of a thing.
Yeah, it's super slick. And I know there have been other companies out there who've tried to tackle this problem of not having business cards, but they tend to go a little bit, you know, further with the service where, you know, there's a lot of management to it. What I love about CardFlix is the simplicity of it. You know, I just create a business card. I meet someone. I say, oh, I'll send you my card. And I just email it to them. Or like I said, if they have CardFlix, then I can flick it to them through any type of wireless network. So it doesn't require the person on the other end to be using the same tool, which has always been an issue I found with some of these other services. So I think it's just, you're right, it's super slick, it's super easy to use. I made a card last night. It probably maybe took me less than a minute. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very useful app.
The app is free. Does it cost you anything? I mean, if you were to share your business card with more than 20 people a month or something, I mean, there's no hidden fee here.
Not that I could find. So I'm just going to look down their FAQs. I don't think so.
I don't either. I mean, it's almost too good to be true.
For now. Yeah. I know. But I guess, you know, it's not a lot of huge maintenance on their end because you're just creating this simple little design. And mm-hmm. I think eventually they've talked about how it will be available very soon for Android. At least that's the hint they give you on the website.
Right.
Also, you will be able to design your own card. So, you know, do something that's a little more customized for you. Although I found the templates to be very appealing. So I'll probably just use one of theirs for the short term. And yeah, it's free. It's relatively new and just a really simple solution to a really old problem.
Cool. So CardFlix gets two rads from us. If anyone out there is either using it or can find a use for it or an issue with it that we didn't discuss, definitely let us know. thesocialhour@twit.tv.
Let us know.
But otherwise, yeah, that's a really good one. I love this kind of stuff. Anything that makes things convenient, especially since I have a big stack of nice Twit business cards that I love very much, but I never take them with me because I forget, and getting other people's business cards ends up, you know, they all, it's very hard to manage that sort of stuff. Even if there are people that are really awesome and you really want to keep tabs on them, I just prefer to keep it all digital whenever I can. So this is a good solution for that.
Yeah, exactly. So you could, you know, all of a sudden eventually create a Twit business card that you just, you know, can share through Flick it to someone or just email it to someone. Super. And change it all the time. That's what I love. Like if your contact info changes, you can easily update it in just a few seconds. So big fan. I'm a fan.
All right. Well, good. We got a good rat or fad and we agreed this week. We had an off week last week where we disagreed. So made me so uncomfortable. This is better. I like living in harmony with you.
I agree, Sarah. And you know what? That's still not over, though. We still don't know anything about that service. So that could continue over the next few episodes until they launch it. I can't even remember the name of it offhand, but
the name of it is It is.
Remember, it's Sean Fanning and
Airtime.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I know. We still
That's one to watch.
It's still under wraps. You know, Web 2.0 conference is going on in San Francisco this week, today through Wednesday. So I wonder if there'll be any more news. I mean, this is one of those conferences that sometimes stealth companies who are working stealthily on stuff end up leaking a little bit of information. So who knows? Maybe we'll find out more by the end of Wednesday.
Yes. Yeah. We'll let you know if we hear anything more about airtime.
Absolutely. For now, we have come to the end of our hour. That's it for this episode of The Social Hour, Amber. And it was a really fun one.
It was fast.
Besides a few technical issues, we had a lot to talk about, and we pretty much got through everything.
We sure did, and it just flew by, Sarah. I can't believe it's been an hour.
I know.
I have so much more to say, so you have to tune in next week.
Good. I will. I'll be here.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for everybody for joining us. Everybody who watched live, thank you so much. If you're watching us after the fact, remember you can watch live 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Mondays. It's pretty much the first show that Twit does. Well, Sunday's technically the first day of the week, but if you think of it in terms of Mondays, I'm here bright and early in the morning, and Amber's in Toronto in the early afternoon on her end. So join us if you can, but if not, we're so happy that you watch the show after the fact or listen to the audio feed. Twit.tv/TSH is our website, and of course, you can always find us on iTunes and even YouTube. We put all of our episodes up there as well at our Twit channel, youtube.com/Twit. Until next week, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur. Thanks for watching.
See you later, everybody.